Now about that debt, Italy gets a new prime minister.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi resigned over the weekend. He's been replaced by economist Mario Monti. Monti has started to form a new government that will hopefully help lead Italy out of its economic crisis. Monti has to answer not only to Italian voters, but to some financial constituents as well. Stephen Beard has more.
Here's how one group celebrated the fall of Berlusconi. They sang the Alleluia chorus outside the presidential palace. Author Beppe Sevignini says this may be a moment of relief for many Italians, but hardly one of national pride.
Berlusconi was voted out of office by foreigners, by the IMF in Washington, by the European Central Bank in Frankfurt. So people basically are celebrating because they're saying, oh, someone else did our job because we couldn't do it.
Berlusconi quit on Saturday after the parliament passed a package of public spending cuts following a week of turmoil in financial markets. Mario Monti is an economist who's never been elected. He's now putting together a government of other non-politicians. He cannot start work soon enough for lawyer Giovanna Di Maio.
I hope that on Monday morning he will begin to do what in the last 10 years no one was able to do for Italy, cut the waste.
But cutting waste and trimming Italy's $2.6 trillion debt load won't be popular in every quarter. Monti will have to tread on toes. To promote growth, he'll have to take on protected and privileged groups, especially in the labour market. James Walston of the American University in Rome.
There's a huge divergence in the Italian labour market between the privileged few who do have jobs for life and the rest, the young people and not so young people, who have never had a steady job and probably never will.
Monti is likely to be sworn in on Wednesday. A general election must be held by early 2013. The fate of the Monti government will depend on foreigners, investors and European officials. They brought him to power. They'll now decide how long he lasts. I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Banks all over the world are revealing their exposure to European debt. As of June, American banks reportedly held $47 billion worth of Italian bonds. European banks held more than $800 billion. Investors are worried that Italy might go the way of Greece and ask bondholders to take a haircut on the face value of that debt. Italian bonds have become a kind of financial hot potato in the last few weeks, but Italy's financial troubles have been a long time in coming, as Bob Moon reports.
The reality is Italy's government has been treading water for at least two decades. Since the early 1990s, its debt levels have risen above 100% of the country's entire economic output. Economists say Italy's been able to stay afloat by paddling furiously, that is, keeping tax revenue coming in. But it's been adrift lately. Harvard economist Kenneth Rogoff explains it this way. Italy badly needs to promote growth to make up for an aging population.
Even during the boom years, before we had the crisis, they were not growing very fast. So they weren't building up their capacity to pay back the debt.
For the time being, bond investment advisor Axel Merck doesn't think Italy is in danger of drowning in a rising sea of debt.
While in the long run, paying interest rates of 7% or so is not sustainable, in the short run, it's not really a problem.
Other experts insist the situation is more urgent, and Merck concedes bond investors are circling. Professor Rogoff cautions that Italy dare not tempt that fate.
Treading water at that high a debt level is a dangerous game.
I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
World markets don't seem to be too sad about saying ciao to Berlusconi. London's FTSE is up just a bit this morning, and Japan's Nikkei index has gained more than 1%. That on news the country's economy grew 6% last quarter, its best pace in more than a year, and a sign that the country's economy is recovering from the earthquake and tsunami back in March. Friday was a very good day for U.S. markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped 2.2% to close at 12,153.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Facebook is watching you, but maybe a little less closely. The Federal Trade Commission and Facebook are nearing a settlement over major changes Facebook made to its privacy policies in 2009 and 2010. But the settlement is about more than just Facebook, as Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
In the U.S., there are very few laws that dictate what companies can do with most of the consumer data they collect online.
That means that consumers have been left to rely on these privacy policies, which are basically contracts.
Mark Rotenberg is executive director of Epic, an online privacy watchdog.
If the companies don't honor these contracts, if they say one thing and do another, then it means that there's no protection at all.
And that, Rotenberg says, is exactly what Facebook did by changing privacy rules for its users. Now, he thinks Facebook should pay a price. But Zach Hoffershell, a social media analyst at Forrester Research, says this doesn't mean Facebook's going to stop tracking us. Because for Facebook to make money,
they need this data, so they'll need to keep asking consumers for data.
Hoffershell says the Facebook settlement could lead other social media startups to make their privacy policies as weak as they possibly can. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, online coupon giant Groupon is getting ready to launch its holiday coupons tomorrow. The so-called epic deals include a round-the-world trip and private lessons with famous chefs. It's supposed to help people with their holiday shopping. Round-the-world trip. Yeah, Groupon, I got that for my dad last year. I was kind of hoping for a deal on some tube socks. And you're making me look bad. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.